Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 22. The Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching."
Noticed in the bulletin this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, "Ready or Not, Here I Come." Ready or not, here I come. And I just want to tell you what led me to preach this sermon. Of course, I've been thinking about Brother Dwayne all week, and am so glad that he was ready for heaven. He was saved, knew it, and he's got to spend his first 6 or 7 days in heaven with his Savior and with his family that preceded him there. And I've been thinking about him all week and was so glad that he was ready for heaven. And then Friday night, the teenagers had an activity. They went bowling, and I had to babysit my grandson. I just had to do it. And they couldn't find anybody else, and so they had Grandpa come over. And we were playing this game. They got a fan in the top of their living room. And, you know, Aaron's about 20 months old. So we were laying in the floor. I mean, we were laying flat on our back, side by side. And he's got this little Nerf ball, little yellow Nerf ball like this. And we were throwing it up, and the fan was going real slow. And so we'd throw it up, and the fan would hit it. He'd jump up. You know, he sort of runs like this. He'd run over and get it, bring it back to Grandpa, and he'd lay back down beside me. And then we'd throw it up again, and the fan would hit it, and he would run and get it. And we did that for about a half hour. Chantel's not in here, is she? Oh, there she is. She's listening. I'm in trouble now. Of course, he won't get in trouble because he can only throw it about that far off the ground so far. But I was thinking to myself as I was laying there, boy, I can't wait till he gets old enough to play hide and seek. You know, I don't know if kids play hide and seek anymore. They got these computer games, and they sit in front of, you know, they got these Wii's, and they got all this other stuff, and I always like to play hide and seek, so I can't wait for him to get old enough so I can play hide and seek with him. And you know this phrase, "Ready or not, here I come." I don't know about you, but I always heard it in conjunction with hide and seek. The seeker would, you know, get by a tree or something and count to a predetermined number, 1, 2, 20, 25. And all the hiders would run and try to find a place to hide, so that the seeker would not find them. You always wanted to be the last one found, or you wanted to get back to base, wherever they counted from, before they caught you. Well, when they got to the end of what they were counting, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25, they would always shout out, "Ready or not, here I come." Doesn't matter if you were ready or not, they were coming. Doesn't matter if you found a place to hide or not, or were hid. They were coming. The count was up. I mean, you all agreed you're going to count 20, 25. And when the count was up, they just cry out, "Ready or not, here I come." And they would come and try to find you. In a similar way, God says to each person that's ever lived and every person that's alive right now, "Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come." Your days are numbered. Every one of our days are numbered. God knew exactly when Brother Dwayne was going to go to heaven. And he knows exactly when our life will be up. And when we reach that count, he's coming. Up to this point, his coming for those that have that gone into eternity has been, except for two, by the way of death. There were two that got to go to heaven. Well, you know, I got to think about this, Brother TB. So all those guys that got swallowed up when Moses prayed and the earth swallowed them up, they probably went to hell, not by way of death. So I got to change my number. I only know of two people that went to heaven, though, other than death. Enoch went because he walked with God, and one day God said, just come on and go home with me. And Elijah went to heaven in that fiery chariot. Everybody else that God has been, that God has come for, he's come for by the way of death. Now, one day he's going to come for those that are alive, and we're going to have this thing called the rapture, where all Christians are going to be caught up out of this world. And again, he will call, and maybe not call out in words, but we can think about it this way. Ready or not, here I come. It's my appointed time to come. All Christians, come on home. And so he says to every person, saved or lost, where you're ready or not, here I come. It doesn't matter which way we go, either by death or by the rapture, he is coming. It doesn't matter if we're ready or not, he is coming. It doesn't matter if we're prepared or not, he is coming. When the count is up, when our days that are numbered are up, when our God-given days are expired, he is coming. And just like in the game of hide and seek, it was always better to be ready than it was not be ready. It's always better to be hid when the person started looking for you. If you were trying to hide while they were looking for you, they usually found you. And it's so much more important in life to be ready when Jesus comes for us. To be ready. I was looking for a verse that I could tie these two things together, and I ran across this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Of course, verse 23, 24, and 25, I've preached about a lot, talking about why we should not forsake ourselves, and we should come to church and hold fast to profession. But I draw your attention this morning to verse 22 in Hebrews chapter 10, where the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." I think what God is saying to us in that verse is, get ready. I'm coming. You don't know the day. You don't know the time. But when the time comes, I'm coming. And so he says there in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. What he's saying is, get ready. And then he tells us in that verse, three things to do to get ready for his coming. He says, let us draw near with a true heart. Number one, in full assurance of faith. Number two, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And number three, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let me tell you how the Lord spoke to my heart and what I think he wants me to share with you this morning. We need to be ready. One day, either by death or the rapture, he's going to say, ready or not, here I come. And to get ready, we need to do three things. Number one, we need to have a full assurance of faith. We need to know that we are saved. We need to know that we are on our way to heaven. And we need to know that every person that we love and every person that we have any influence on is also ready. We need to have a full assurance. We need to know, just like Brother Dwayne, that when we take our last breath, we are going to go to be in the presence of our God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And listen, I mentioned this Monday, when this body is sort of like a car. It's just like a car. It's what we use to get around in down here. This is not us. This is not me. What I see is not you. We live on the inside of this body. And just like a car can do one of two things. It can get in a crash and you can't use it anymore, or it can just wear out. Now, the same thing happens to our body. In Brother Dwayne's case, just wore out. In other cases that we've heard of, I, some of you don't know me very well, and I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, I heard about that little 4-year-old boy, Wanda and I were talking about Sunday night, that got beat to death by his girlfriend's boyfriend. And I'll be honest with you, I almost lose my Christianity in cases like that. I think we ought to take him out and hang him and let everybody see it and let everybody know this is what's going to happen to you if you mess with kids. Now, and again, I apologize if I offended anybody. I don't mean to offend you. That's just sometimes the way I feel. So, listen, we don't know the day. One day this body's going to wear out, or by some other circumstances, it's going to quit working. And we're going to go one of two places. We're either going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to hell. There's no other place. There's no in between. There's no place to go and wait. You're either going to go to heaven to be with the Lord, or you're going to go to hell to be apart from God and pay that eternal, that debt that we owe for our sin, eternal separation from God. There is no other place. And so when this body dies, we will go to one of those two places, either heaven or hell. And by the way, the Bible talks about both, and heaven is a whole lot better than hell is. If there's anybody here that says, well, I want to go to hell and be with all my friends, you are a fool. You need to get into that book and you need to read about a literal hell and read about the fire and the bottomless pit and the worm that dieth not and the eternal separation from God. There is no person in their right mind that would want to go to hell. But I want to tell you this morning, there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. That way is not the church. That way is not baptism. That way is not the Lord's Supper. That way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to get ready. Because God may one day soon say to you, ready or not, here I come. You say, how do I get ready, preacher? Real easy. A, admit that you're a sinner. Every single person is a sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that he is God's only begotten Son, that he left heaven, he came here, he lived among us to teach us about the kingdom of God and about salvation, and then he allowed us to take him and nail him to a cross, and as we nailed him to a cross, God took all of our sin and put it on his Son, and when he died on Calvary, he paid the price for every one of our sins. And then confess him. Admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then confess. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you want to be saved. You may not know it, but you want to be saved. And God wants you to be saved. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what a tragedy it is. Listen, what a tragedy it is for people to come to a church like this week after week after week after week and hear it in the Sunday school lesson and hear it in the sermons and hear it in the singing and hear it in everything that we try to do around here and yet still not be ready to go to heaven. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior because you've never asked him to save you, I beg you to do it this morning. Amen. This morning. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And the Bible says that we can have full assurance that we're on our way to heaven. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to worry. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior based on the promises that are in this book, heaven is yours. Amen. It's yours. And when that verse says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, in full assurance of faith, that's what it's talking about. God wants you to know. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to have exercised your faith and trusted Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. For assurance of faith, I think, also includes those that God has put in our lives. So let me ask you this morning, are your mom and dad ready? Are all your children ready? Are your grandparents ready? Are your brothers and sisters ready? Are your nieces and nephews ready? Are your co-workers ready? Are your neighbors ready? Are your friends ready? One day, every person on this earth will hear the words, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. And they'll go out into an eternity, and whether they meet the Lord or go to hell depends on what they've done with Jesus Christ. Are they ready? Are you ready? We need to be. And we need to do everything we can to get those that God has put in our life that we love and that we can influence. We need to point them to the Savior. We need to tell them about Jesus. So I thought about Brother Duane this week. I thought about my grandmother. I've told you this before. She had a pointed finger like that. And every time it seemed like I'd go over to her house, she'd shake it in my face. And she'd say, "Daryl, you're a sinner and you're going to hell unless you get saved." Sometimes I got so mad at her. I said, "Why don't you pick on some of my other cousins? They're all lost too. Why are you picking on me?" I didn't know she was doing the same thing to them. But I'm so glad she loved me enough to shake her old bony finger in my face and say, "You're going to hell if you don't ask Jesus to be your Savior." And I truly believe I would not be here this morning. I would not be saved this morning if it wasn't for her. Now, you can be that person in somebody else's life just like I can. You might not shake your bony finger in their face, but you can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about heaven and hell. You can tell them there's only one way to escape hell and get to heaven. You can give them a track. You can invite them to church. You can do something to get the gospel in front of them. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." We can't save them, but we can get them to the one that can. All we have to do is lift them up. So lift them up. Lift them up. And let him do what he can only do and save sinners. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. We need to have a full assurance of faith that we're saved and those in our lives are saved. Number two, it says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Here's how the Lord talked to me about that this week. You know, in my dealings with people, I find there's three things that bear on their conscience. Three things that they can't just slough off, or three things that they just can't get over. Unconfessed sin, unexpressed love, and unexpressed thanks. Unconfessed sin, unexpressed love, and unexpressed thanks. They bear on people's conscience. And so as I encourage you to get ready this morning, I encourage you to keep short list of unconfessed sin, unconfessed love, and unexpressed thanks. We need to keep a short list of unconfessed sins. Say, "Preacher, I thought we didn't have to worry about sin when we got saved." We don't have to worry about the penalty of it, because Jesus paid the price for all of it. But we have to worry about what we talked about, and Brother Leonard talked about in Sunday school this morning. I mean, one day we're going to give an account of how we've done what God's wanted us to do. And unconfessed sins keep us from doing everything that God wants us to do. That's why God put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I've known people that got to the end of the day and they're getting ready to go to bed, and they'll be praying, and then they'll pray, "God, forgive me of all the sins that I committed today." Now, if that's the only thing you're going to do, it's better than nothing. But I don't think that's the way God wants you to pray for your sins. I think he wants you to be specific. I think he wants you to name them. Because as we name them, we realize more what we've done and how we've disappointed God. And we need to say, "God, you know, when I said that unkind word to the lady at the supermarket, I knew I shouldn't have said it. I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? When I yelled at my son," because I'm just using this as an example. I didn't do this week, by the way. But when I yelled at my son this week, I was way too harsh. Yes, he needed to be disciplined, but I didn't need to be as harsh as I was with him. Would you forgive me? When I got into an argument with my mother this week, I know better than to do that. Would you forgive me? That's what God wants us to do. Name them one by one so we can be convicted again of what a wicked person we are, but for the grace of Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that we are a human being and that we fall short of His glory. And yet He wants us to try and try and try. And so He puts a way in the Bible that we can come and get our sins forgiven. So keep your list of unconfessed sins short. Keep your list of unexpressed love short. Look, we don't know when God's going to say to those that we love, ready or not, here I come. If you're going to tell somebody you love them, tell them today. If you're going to give somebody a hug, hug them today. If you're going to give somebody a kiss, I'm not talking to the teenagers now, let me make that perfectly clear. If you're going to kiss somebody, your mom, your dad, grandpa, grandma, somebody you love, a child, kiss them today. Today. Don't let that love go unexpressed. Don't say, well, next time I see him, I'll hug him, kiss him, and tell him I love him. Next time I see him, I'll make sure they know how I feel. You listen to me. You don't know, and I don't know when God's going to say, ready or not, here I come. It may be for me, it may be for them, but I don't want to. I've stood beside too many caskets, and I've heard too many children and even parents say, oh, I wish I would have told them that I loved them. I wish I would have hugged them the last time we were together. I wish I would have kissed them the last time we were together. Listen, don't be like that. If you love somebody, you tell them today. Today. And then number three, keep your list of unexpressed thanks short. Short. You know, gratitude is something we're losing in our society. We take things for granted and think that people owe us things. And as a result, we don't thank them for the things that they do for us. We ought to thank God, and we ought to thank the people that He's put in our life that He works through. Don't let your thanks go unexpressed. If you owe somebody some gratitude, you go home this afternoon, call them, write a card. Somehow, you get it expressed. If there's somebody you haven't loved on in a while, you go home and love on them. Today. Today. And if there's some sin you haven't confessed to God, go home this afternoon and confess it and get it right between you and your Savior. And then number three, I got to hurry. It says, and our bodies washed with pure water. And I'm sure that this has some meaning that I'm going to miss today, but I'll tell you how the Lord spoke to my heart about it this week. A couple things. I think what He's saying is, take care of the body that I've given you. Take care of it. Eat healthy. I'll preach to myself for just a minute. You know, lay off the White Castle. Lay off the Snickers and the Butterfingers. Lay off the ice cream bars. I was babysitting Friday night, and I was hungry. So I looked to see what was in the refrigerator. No, she's not. I can tell. She's not listening now. But in the refrigerator, they have ice cream Snicker bars. And there was five less when I left than when I got there. So I'll just preach to myself. Lay off that stuff. That's not good for you. Some of you, listen, some of you, when something starts to hurt in your body, you won't go to the doctor. You won't go. You'll say, it'll just get better. And it goes on and on. Listen, who do you think gave us doctors and the wisdom that doctors have and the medicines that they use and the operations they perform? They came from God. And I think He would say this morning, use them. Use them. Get your finances in shape. I know you, those that come on Sunday morning, you're not used to hearing like this is a more of a Sunday night sermon. But get your finances in shape. Pay off your debts. Just get out of debt. Live by a budget. I think that's what God's saying. And then pre-plan for your leaving. Jean and Cindy went to the funeral home the day before Brother Dwayne went to heaven. Got everything ready. I thought that was a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I think it's, if you can pre-plan your funeral, go ahead and pre-plan it. Let people know what you want. Don't make them, in that time of grief, in that time where they're missing you, have to make those kind of decisions. Get ready. You know what's coming. Get ready. Ready or not, here I come. And one day he is going to come. It may be by death. It may be by the rapture. I don't know. But I know he's coming. And I know we need to be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's my simple question and invitation this morning. Are you ready? I don't care if this is your first time here or if you've been here 118 times. Are you ready? And there's only one way to get ready, and that's to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you haven't done it, you need to do it this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us so much that you made a way to heaven for us. You sent your Son to die on Calvary to pay for all of our sins. And I pray, Father, that if there's just one person here this morning that isn't sure, that doesn't have that full assurance of faith that we talked about, that they would come this morning and get ready. They'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray you'd speak to Christians this morning. If we have unconfessed sin, if we have unexpressed love, if we have unexpressed thanks, help us to get them expressed. Help us to confess. Help us to get things right between us and you and right between us and our fellow men. And then, Father, help us to take care of the wonderful part of life that you've given us called our bodies. Help us to treat them right, to treat them with the respect they're yours. They belong to you. Our bodies are the temple, are your temple. The Holy Spirit dwells there. Help us to treat them with the respect that they deserve. So, Father, bless this time of invitation. You know the need of every single person here, and I pray that you would meet that need. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.